obviously using Genesis 12 for last few weeks, I think it's like 1 through 3, where God made a promise to Abraham and his seed that he would bless those that would bless his seed, but he would curse those that cursed his seed. And we've seen many times that this truth has carried out throughout the Bible. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 11. Look in Romans chapter 11. Paul writing to these Romans, and verse 13 in the Romans that he's writing to, he's beginning to speak to particulars here. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 11, "For I speak to you Gentiles." That should tell you something right there. I'm speaking to Gentiles. "Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh." Now, who is it that's of Paul's flesh? Who is that? Well, we've got a division line. We got Gentiles that he's talking to, but he's also talking to them about who? The Jews. Pretty easy. "And might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them," obviously Jews, "and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in." For God's able to graft them in again. "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now, there's a lot there, but in Paul's writings here, you go into the body of Christ. Now, consider the fact we're reading Romans 11, because in Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So then, when he's addressing this bunch, he's addressing them based upon him going to the Jew first and preaching the gospel, and there were Jews that were saved, and there were also Greeks. There were Greeks that were assembling with these Jews. Therefore, those Jews there are referred to as an olive tree. Well, the Gentiles that were in there were grafted in to that olive tree. What is that based upon? Well, that's based upon those Gentiles blessing these Jews. Turn to Acts chapter 13, whole Romans 11. Acts 13, in Acts 13, verse 16. "Then Paul stood up," now he's in a synagogue, "and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." Go down to verse 26. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." In other words, he is addressing men of Abraham. He's addressing Israel, "and ye that fear God." They're in there based upon their fearing the God of Abraham. Hence, they're blessing these Jews, and they are grafted in. So consequently, and it didn't just start when Paul began his ministry here. Once this covenant, this agreement was made with Abraham in chapter 12, It began right then and there, and every Jew, every Gentile and every nation of the Gentiles that blessed this seed, God blessed throughout all history. All history. And it ran right into Paul's time. But Paul begins his ministry by going to the Jew first. Well, in those synagogues where he went to the Jew first, there were those that feared God in there. So he preached the gospel, and consequently, this bunch got saved. Not all of them, but there was some out of that synagogue. Well, what we'll do is we'll do this. And that means that some believe the gospel. So they come out, and it's made up of Jew and Greeks or Gentiles at that time. And there is the body of Christ. Well, what Paul is writing here in Romans 11 is not directly talking about the body of Christ. What he's given them an overview of is how these Gentiles wound up in a position to hear the gospel. The opportunity they had to hear the gospel. How's that? You got grafted in. You were grafted in by fearing God and being a part of that blessing. So go back to Romans 11 and look in verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Why were the branches broken off? Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. So he's saying, what Paul is writing here, is there are some branches, Jews, that God broke off. Why were they broken off?
Unbelief.
What happens to a branch when it gets broke off? It dies. Why? It doesn't have access to the fatness of the root. Several verses up. The fatness of the root. In other words, they're cut off from the life that comes from God Almighty. They go in and they start blaspheming God, the Jews, by turning to other gods. He cuts them off. Same thing that we read in Jeremiah last time, where he referred to them as olive trees, and God said, when they get in trouble, I'm not going to hear their prayers. Let the gods that they went after hear their prayers. They're not going to help them, because they can't. They don't exist. He said, but I'm going to cut the branches off. That's all back there in Jeremiah chapter 11. So he says to these Gentiles, God was able to cut them off. Why? Because of unbelief. How could that, those two verses, verses 19 and 20, how could the truth of those two verses be fitted into the doctrine of the body of Christ? It cannot. It can't. And then Paul carries it further towards the Gentiles that he's addressing. Look in verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Yeah, they got cut off. It's pretty severe. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Boy, that'd be a beautiful preaching today, huh? Yeah, you go out there and preach. If you don't stay in God's goodness, he's going to cut you off. And they do that. That's a doctrine for today. You better live it to be accepted. Well, yeah, that held true with these Gentiles that blessed Israel. They had to stay into that promise based upon their blessing. Because if they turned, they get cut off. It's nothing for God to kill somebody, you understand. He's not morally challenged on that front. He makes a proper determination because he's God, he's judge, and he's executor. And so, consequently, if he determines to kill somebody, bump, he does it, and he answers to nobody. So he tells them, you continue in the goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. That teaching cannot even be thought of in the doctrine of the body of Christ. Sealed, saved, all spiritual blessings, saved by grace, not by works. I mean, that's why when people deal with it and they teach that this is part of the body of Christ, an individual teaches that the olive tree is just God's way in here expressing that that's the body of Christ. No, he's not. And you see, what God's doing is by the Spirit grafting them into the body of Christ. Are you kidding me? And so he gets confused from there on. Well, I bet he does. And there's a bunch of them. So then in this point in time, with Paul going to the Jew first, everything's about time, folks. You can put it down on your watch. Everything with God is about time here on this earth. Everything. So there's a process of time where he went to the Jew first and also the Greek. But watch what is happening. Continue to read, but go down to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now catch the end of this now. That blindness in part is happened to who? Israel. Blindness in part. Does that mean they're blind? But they definitely don't have a clear vision, do they? They got some cataracts working. Blindness in part. Blindness in part has happened to who? Israel. Keep that in mind. Consequently, go up to verse 11. I say then, have they, that's Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, verse 11 looks like the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. The problem is people who don't understand it contradict themselves with it. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, meaning they didn't fall. Then he says, but rather through their fall, salvation's come to the Gentiles. All right? The first fall there, I say then, should they stumble that they should fall? The first fall would be like if I'm walking up here and I go for this top step here and my foot hits here and boom, I hit the ground and I'm laid out here. Fell. I'm laid out. I fell. The first fall that you see in verse 11, that is the fall he's addressing. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? And he's talking about flat on their face. And he says, God forbid. Then he says that through their fall, as it were, God forbid, or rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That fall is different. You know what that is? It's a diminishing. It's going down. It ain't flat out laid out. It's going downward. It's two different falls. Because Paul had within himself this commission to take the gospel to the Jew first. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? They're out of the picture? God forbid. Turn back to Romans chapter 9. You'll see why he said God forbid. Verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth blah, 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 blah. Paul had a continual heaviness, a heartache for those Jews. I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid! But there's a problem and Paul knows it. What is it? That blindness in part has come. They're not blind. They hadn't fallen like a blind man. But they're in the act of falling because of blindness. Now, this part that we're reading, Romans was written about in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. Now what I want you to do, we'll hold Romans 11 for some reason, I don't know why, but go back to Acts 28. Turn back to Acts 28. Paul is about at the end of his life here on this earth. He's in prison. He only has a short period of time, a couple years or so. As he's locked up, he's given freedom to have visitors. Look in verse 23. Acts 28:23. And when they appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Now, who do you, without reading any further, he persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of the law and out of the prophets. Who do you think he's addressing there? Yeah, he's addressing Jews. And some believe the things which was spoken, and some believe not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Here it is. Prophecy. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are blinded in part? No. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. There's a difference in the eyes. Over here, Romans 20. God's still dealing with them. They're breaking off. They're diminishing. Why? Blindness in part. You remember that? Blindness in part. You get to Acts 28, where Paul is in prison at the end of his run. They have closed their eyes. When you close your eyes, there's no blindness in part. You don't see. That's what he said. You don't see anymore. That's it. And so he says in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And it's been about 1900 years. That's how confident God was that Gentiles would believe the gospel that he sent it out to and believe and get saved. But it goes further than that. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Now hang on. We're going to read the next verse. I don't know if you write in your Bible, you highlight in your Bible, but if you do, there's a word in this verse that I would strongly recommend that you underline, highlight, and it will not disserve you later on. It will help you. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. All. I'm sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And bless your soul, folks, during that time, that's exactly how and where Paul went to. But they diminished to a point, were blinded to a point, fell to a point where at the end of the rung, Paul knew something. God gave him revelation of what Isaiah was prophesying about and had him speak over here saying, eyes you have, but you don't perceive. Ears you have, they don't hear. You have a heart. It's wax gross. It doesn't believe. So now this gospel, it's going out to the Gentiles. And as they left out, Paul for 2 years received all that came to him. And I want to tell you who the all is. It's not only this bunch here. It turns out being this bunch here that cursed Israel, that never were grafted in. Those had no hope and opportunity of salvation till this bunch of Jews here rejected the glorious gospel of Christ, which was preached by Paul. And when they rejected it, it reached a point where there was no reason to send Paul out there. He couldn't go out there anymore. Couldn't go out there. You know, I had a conversation a while back. Someone was talking about ruthless dictatorships. And they brought up the Roman Empire. And our government's going right that way. Like it's ungodly. I said, you don't think God can handle any power on this earth for his glory? I said, won't you think about this? God sent Paul to the Jew first. Guess who tried to kill him? The Jews. Guess what ruthless, corrupt power took him in and protected him?
Rome.
God can use any power there is out there. Rome isn't doing it just for godliness. They're doing it just to protect this man. Why? He was part Roman. Therefore, they would not let a half Roman, half Jew suffer at the total hands of the Jews. Jesus Christ was all Jew. He was of the seed of David. Therefore, the Jews had jurisdiction over their own. And when they said, he dies to Caesar, that did it. When they said, Paul dies, Paul says, how are you going to beat me, Roman powers? I'm a Jew, and I'm a Roman. Is he really a Roman? Oh, yeah, he's a Roman. Get him back. They'd have been in hot water. So they take him, bring him back. So God just sets him up as an old beat-up man. Got his little office writing all the letters out, giving it to Tychicus and Silas. And they go deliver him out. People brought him stuff, and he received all for 2 years without one beating. So don't tell me about, oh, the country's going to... You just got to do what God needs done, and he'll take care of everything else. Oh, Moses, we can't cross this sea. Nah, shut up. Let the Lord do it. There it is. God foreknew that in the whole process of times, that when he sent Paul in there, there was a select group of Jews that if the gospel went to those Jews, they would believe. Over here, you had Peter and the apostles. They were commanded to stay in Jerusalem, and basically, the Jews at Jerusalem were to be converted before they went out with the so-called Great Commission. Well, were the Jews converted at Jerusalem? Then they didn't go out, did they? Well, there were cities out there that had Jews in them outside of Jerusalem, all through Syria, all through Turkey, all through Macedonia, all through Greece, all through the region of Galatia, all that area, which is Turkey. Someone's listening to this go, you said Turkey earlier, now you're saying Galatia, you don't know. I know it's Turkey region, you Turkey. There are Jews out there. Well, if this kingdom message can't get out, and it's not, then God knew if the gospel that he gave Paul went into that region, there were Jews there that would believe it. So God tells Paul a little story about Elijah. You remember Elijah? Jezebel was ruling the roost back then, and she had all her 400 or so priests, and Israel had gone into that corrupt doctrine there. And God told Elijah, you go there and you confront them, because there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. They haven't gone into idol worship. They're resisting. I want you to go get them. So he goes and he basically fights for them. And ultimately just takes them out, takes all the priests out to a brook and chops all their heads off. Jezebel says, the sun won't come up tomorrow till I get Elijah. But he got 7,000 out of that corrupt system. God told Paul, you got some here that can be saved according to the election of grace. I know they can. Go in there and get them. And God wouldn't let any of them kill him. Delivered him out of the hand every time. And Paul went in there and got those people out of there, got those Jews out by the gospel, but the unbelieving Jews ultimately just took the thing over, and once those were taken out, God turned this thing over to the Gentiles and said, my gospel's going out to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Consequently, USA, I don't care about the history how it got here. I know some forefathers that brought it from Europe, brought it over here. What I care about, it was here when I was here. I believed it, and that's all that matters to me. So God now is dealing with Gentiles who are under a curse. They're none of these now. You understand that. You know why? Because approximately, roughly, when Paul made this announcement in Acts 28 about, you understand the words I'm using, roughly in about 7 years, maybe eight, the Roman army headed up by Titus went into Jerusalem and just leveled the thing and set the city ablaze and took all those Jews and scattered them out as slaves around the world. So God put a halt to the ability to bless these people. He didn't need it anymore. He didn't need it. So he could reach out to this bunch, and only he knew that. So it was a mystery that God would save the ones that cursed the seed of Abraham. And nobody, Paul never knew it in his ministry here. When he's addressing Gentiles and everything else, he knows who he's dealing with. He knows he's dealing with this bunch till God revealed to him that he would save those that curse. And like I said, it's been going on for 1900 years now. A ratty, unruly, nasty bunch of human beings. And nobody is above those words that I stated today. They may think they are, but they're not. Everybody today has the opportunity, but also has the issue of needing to trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Nobody is above that. God's dealing with the worst of the worst today and can save anybody that'll believe. That's why, and I'm still having side effects to Sunday's message in reference to who God is saving, the character of people that he's saving, the immoral people that he's saving, and that's going to be the bunch that sees God in his glorious being state first. Now play with your head a little bit. All right, that's all I got.